Thank you, Moosey, and thank you for coming, and nice to be here in the morning part of this session that's on the last day. So today I'm going to talk to you about ammonia oxidizing bacteria and how we have observed that their response to nitrogen sources, different fertilizer sources and nitrogen sources, is different than the response of the archaeal bacteria. And most of the work that I'll present today is the work of my PhD student, Yang Yang, and he has a poster this afternoon, so if you'd like to see that. Okay, so since I'm the first one, I can give a big overview slide so other people don't have to go back to the reason that we're so interested in nitrification. And that is because as humans we have changed the global nitrogen cycle, and in fact the reactive nitrogen inputs related to human activities now exceed the natural nitrogen inputs on the terrestrial system. And most of that is due to fertilizer production, although a certain amount is also due to combustion products and nitrous oxide deposition. And then the encouragement of agricultural biological nitrogen fixation is also an important human-related input of reactive nitrogen. So we care about nitrification because changing the form of nitrogen, nitrate is more mobile, more susceptible to nitrogen loss via either denitrification or leaching. So we have an increase of nitrous oxide production. We have a loss of the fertilizer input, and that decreases fertilizer use efficiency in agricultural systems. So understanding nitrification and possibly being able to control or decrease nitrification can help us to improve nitrogen use efficiency. So changing that form of N, nitrification can alter the nitrogen fate, and you can think of it at many different scales, from the rhizosphere right at the root surface to a global scale. Okay, so when we were starting this project, we had a few questions about how does nitrogen source in agricultural systems, how does it change nitrification? How long does it take to change the soil ammonia oxidizer communities, or do they change? Are the changes in ammonia oxidizers just in the abundance, the numbers, or do they also change in their community composition? Do the types of ammonia oxidizers change? And how do those changes relate to the process rate? So in order to understand that, we also like to think about what controls the actual rate of nitrification in agricultural soils. We all know that temperature, moisture, aeration, and pH are fundamental conditions in the soil environment that drive biological processes, so these are also very important in terms of controlling the rate of nitrification. Moisture is important also because of its role in controlling oxygen availability to the nitrification process and the nitrifiers, which require oxygen for that process. The substrate supply, not simply, okay, if we think of the first step in nitrification, the ammonia oxidation to nitrite, so we think of ammonia as the substrate for this. Not only the current ammonia pool size, but also how does the organic nitrogen become mineralized and give off ammonium that can be then nitrified. So fertilization surely has a big role. The organic nitrogen pools, not only their size, but their substrate characterization in terms of C to N ratio and their complexity. So the inorganic nitrogen pools are affected in terms of their substrate supply and then how fast they turn over and are converted. So we need to know something about the rates of ammonium production if we are truly to understand nitrification. transportation rate. And then kind of down almost at the bottom of the list are, you know, what about the populations of ammonia oxidizers, the nitrite oxidizers, and then the types in the community of these organisms. So we examined some of these factors, both the nitrogen turnover and also pool sizes in a standard agricultural plot design. It's a complete randomized block design. The soil is a highly calcareous soil. So one of the interesting things about this system is that we do not have to worry very much about any acidification from the nitrification process because the soil is so highly buffered by large amounts, 35% by mass calcium carbonate in the soil. It has a limestone parent material and a lot of calcium inputs in the water. So it's a hugely buffered system. These plots were planted, started in 2011, and there are four nitrogen source treatments, a control, no nitrogen addition, and that's, you can see this corn right here in the front, very stunted and yellow. This is the no nitrogen input corn. Farm managers think, what are you doing to that corn? You know, but I assure them it's supposed to be that way. So that's a no nitrogen treatment. And then we have two levels of ammonium sulfate, very readily available water-soluble ammonium source, 100 and 200 kilograms nitrogen per hectare, and then a composted steer manure at a total rate of 200 kilograms per hectare. And this is all in the northern Utah geographic area. Okay. So the question, how long does it take to change soil ammonia oxidizer communities? And are the changes in ammonia oxidizer abundance? And to do this, we used real-time PCR of the ammonium monooxygenase A gene, and both for the archaea over here, the ammonia oxidizing archaea, and the colors relate to the treatments. Okay, so this is the black is control, ammonium sulfate 100, ammonium sulfate 200, and then the compost treatment. What you can see is in the ammonia oxidizing archaea, over the 4 years of the period, there was no significant change in the main determinations of abundance, and there was no change by treatment type. The ammonia oxidizing archaea over time, over the 4 years of the study, did show an increase in abundance, but no change with the treatment. And this is in contrast to the ammonia oxidizing bacteria, where you have, this is the first year in May, so that's before fertilization. At the start of the experiment, no significant difference. That August, there was no difference measured in the abundance, but by the, and also not before fertilization in the second year, but then by after the August time, after the second fertilization and the growing season, we did start to see the effect of the ammonium sulfate fertilizers increasing the ammonia oxidizing bacteria. And that effect then was carried to the next spring, through the next growing season, and so on, and also through 2015, which we had measurements for this year. So the ammonia oxidizing bacteria numbers increased with repeated treatment of ammonium sulfate fertilizers, and more so, a little bit more, actually not significantly more for the 200 than the 100 treatment. What about the types of organisms that are present? For the archaea, we found two main types by pyrosequencing of the AMOA for the different treatments. And here in this graph, what you can see is the black is the 2011 year and the 2013 year is in white. So for the archaea, there were these two main groups where the majority, over 90% of the Archive and Archaea were contained in those two operational taxonomic units, and those are related to other ones that have been found in agricultural soils, pretty common, and in fact, even the very kind of the first soil ammonia oxidizing archaea that was identified through metagenomics and was that soil phosmid clone. So similar to some that have been known for a while since the beginning, but no difference, no major impact types due to fertilizer treatment. Again, the contrast, the bacterial AMOA diversity, we had a few more types. There were three main predominant types of identified by their sequence similarity, and there was some differential effect. We saw that over here you can see over time the 25, which is this type right here, didn't really have a big change over time, stayed about the same, and that's why I have the arrow going flat. The 27, this one here, this third one, actually increased, and you can see the effect most high right here on the ammonia sulfate 200 treatment. So this OTU is increasing between 2011 and 2013, and this type down here, the 26, is has a decrease, you can see here, most dramatically in the ammonium sulfate 200. And so if you look into the literature, what are similar types that have been identified in the past, these types are also have been identified. The 26 is more similar to ones that have been identified as being adapted to lower levels of ammonium, more in natural ecosystems, not in highly fertilized soils, where the 27 and 25 are pretty close to the Nitrosospira multiformis, which has a pretty high tolerance for high ammonia levels in soils. So there is a change in types, and you can see this more clearly if we take a look at all the data together in a principal component analysis. And this shows for the ammonia oxidizing bacteria, these groups, this is the 2011 type, before a lot of fertilization, those are all together, but then the solid symbols are the 2013, after a couple years of treatment, you can see that there's a shift, and the shift is much more pronounced in the treatment, the soils that have been treated with ammonium sulfate fertilizer for those for 3 years then at this point. So these are the ammonia sulfate 100 and the ammonia sulfate 200 there. In contrast, we don't really have a large grouping for the ammonia oxidizing archaea, and by permutation ANOVA, this is also, it's significant for the ammonia oxidizing bacteria by both treatment and year, and not for the archaea. So yes, there are changes in communities. How do these relate to rates? We have in this case, these are nitrification potentials done at about 1 millimolar ammonium in soil slurries. So what you can see here is an increase in the even in the very first year, where we didn't see a change in numbers, but we do see a change in ammonia oxidizing potential with the high application of ammonium sulfate, and that was consistent throughout the years between 2011-2014. But what about if we look at those potential rates? Can we divide that up into the ammonia oxidation that's occurring through the ammonia oxidizing bacteria versus the archaea? And we did that using a selective inhibitor of octene. So in this nitrification, these again are nitrification potentials. The rate is here. The black bars are the rate without any inhibitor, and the gray bar is with the inhibitor, the octane inhibitor present. And so this gray bar would be considered to be the archaeal ammonia oxidation. So what you can see is that there's more total, like we saw in the last graph. This is just 1 year now, the August 2014 data. And that the bacteria ammonia oxidizers comprise the largest part of the ammonia oxidizing potential. Only, and that part changes, that proportion changes with the fertilizer treatment. So the, but what happens when you look at not 1 millimolar ammonium, but in the soil itself, just with the ammonium supply that's present at the same time, okay, so again, that's the problem with using the cursor to point as well as to go on your jump. In the bottom part of this graph, what you can see is by N15 pool dilution, there is the pool dilution rate of nitrification is almost is not inhibited by octane, at least not very much. And in fact, there's so those gray bars in the presence of octane are just about the same amount as the total nitrification by pool dilution at those rates. Okay, so that means that when you, by the end of the growing season, when the soil ammonium levels are quite low, way down below 1 ppm, more like 0.1 or even lower, the gross nitrification at that concentration of ammonium is being comprised almost entirely by the archaea. Okay. So that shows you the difference between the potential nitrification rate and the actual gross nitrification rate at any one time. Here's some data that we have just gathered this year in 2015 to look at the, now this is actually just net nitrification in the soil, looking just 1 week after fertilization and then 3 months after fertilization. What you can see is 1 week after fertilization, the bacterial ammonia oxidizers comprise the majority of the net nitrification. Okay. And but 3 months, like in August, once all the fertilizer ammonium has already been nitrified and the pool is drawn down, then what you see is that the archaea are actually doing the nitrification. Okay, so why is this? So this has to do with the effect of the differential effect of ammonium concentrations on the rate of nitrification by both the ammonia oxidizing bacteria versus the ammonia oxidizing archaea. And I want you to note that the scale on these graphs, okay, so here's the concentration of ammonium across the bottom in millimolar, and here's the rate, that this rate is 5x. The rate down here. So what you can see is, first of all, the archaea have much lower maximum rates, but they also have lower, they have higher affinity for ammonium, and at those very low concentrations, their rates go up to almost their maximum rate at very, very low amounts of ammonium. And also, so if you want to see more about this, you can go and you can talk to Yang this afternoon at his poster if you have time. So so this shows that they have different kinetic analysis. They have different kinetic parameters and analysis. And in fact, here is just the percent of the octane, how much is done by the octane resistance, the AOA fraction, and you know, at those micromolar, less than 1 micromolar now concentration, the archaea are doing the majority of the nitrification, whereas if you go up to higher, this is a log scale, so log 3 would be 1 millimolar, right? Okay, and that at that concentration, then less than half of the nitrification is due to archaea, and the rest is due to the ammonia oxidizing bacteria. So there's a big, the effect of ammonia concentration and ammonium availability is determining which ammonia oxidizers are active in the nitrification process. Okay, so we saw changes in nitrification potentials even in the first season, while it took till the second season for that to be reflected in the actual numbers of the ammonia oxidizing bacteria. And really, the archaea really didn't show any large effects over time, over the 4 years time period. Their changes were in the community composition as well as the abundance for the bacteria. And the ammonia oxidizing archaea processing is responsible for a small but variable fraction of ammonia oxidation in the highly fertilized soils. But that's because the AOB are responsive to that increased ammonium supply, keep increasing their rate and growing during that time of right after fertilization, and then the archaea continue on using the ammonium that's left over or the ammonium that's being mineralized over time. So the availability of substrate control really controls the rates in agricultural soils, and I would suggest that the fact that the AOB responds so rapidly to fertilizers and that large, very quick nitrification right after fertilization means that they should be the important target for management of that fertilizer response, either with inhibitors or some other way of splitting the ammonium availability into smaller amounts or some other way to manage the ammonia oxidizing bacteria and therefore prevent nitrogen loss. And just thank you to all my co-PIs and the funding sources, particularly the USDA NEFA, who's funded this project over time. So thank you for your attention.